Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Tuesday edition of the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Not just any old Tuesday, Dom. It's a happy hour all the way up to Tony Evers' State of the State Address. We're bringing it to you right here on Civic Media, and we got a fine guest right now. He is the Democratic Party Chair, great state of Wisconsin. See, I'm excited about these things, Dom. It's a big deal. Tonight's a big deal. Ben Wickler, he's a big deal. Welcome back. Our friend Ben, how's it going, man?
Hey, Ben.
So good to be with you, Dom, Crute. This is a big day. This is the state of the state. This is the calm before the state of the state. But tonight, you know, the legislature will be packed with almost a supermajority of Republicans in each chamber, but not quite enough, which means if the governor vetoes something, it stays vetoed, which means Republicans actually have to play ball, which means, you know, This is a moment when there might actually be some governing for once. And it's really exciting that it's Governor Evers delivering the speech and not Tim Michaels, who I can start to imagine what it would be like if we were preparing for his.
Well, we would have a different coverage plan in place. I feel quite confident, Ben. Let's talk about the governor's speech. Ben, this is a political cycle. It's already a spring elective cycle. Does the governor have any responsibility to point that out? Is simply talking about the fact that abortion is illegal in the state of Wisconsin. What role do you think Tony, the politician, has tonight?
Well, Tony is suing to, you know, working with our attorney general to strike down this ridiculous, misbegotten 174-year-old abortion ban that we have in the state of Wisconsin. Now, I think if you look fairly at the law, the ban should not be in effect. And that's the governor's view as well. But, you know, right now you can't finish training as an OBGYN because you can't learn to deliver care for miscarriages because physicians are afraid they'll be thrown in jail for doing basic medical care. So we have a crisis in healthcare in our state. The governor's very passionate about this. And the legislature, honestly, should codify Roe versus Wade, you know, without waiting for the Supreme Court. But if they're not willing to do that, you know, he's taking this to the court, and, you know, if we win on April 4th, especially, and have Supreme Court justices who aren't just carrying water for Right to Life Wisconsin, there's a real chance that the abortion ban could be struck down and we could actually have men and women and, you know, anyone who can have a kid could be a first-class citizen again.
Well, we know that these sort of events can devolve into political kabuki theater, and we know that Robin Voss is going to be looking over Tony's shoulder, over the governor's shoulder, and when he starts talking about abortion, the hysteronics are going to be in full effect, I would predict. And Voss acts like carving out some sort of legislative exception, not for legalized abortion in the state of Wisconsin, but for, you know, rape and incest survivors. Well, if Tony doesn't come to him, then he acts like Tony's some sort of radical. Well, the state of Wisconsin is with Tony Evers on this. People want this right reinstated under state law. Do you turn around and look at Robin Voss and say the people are with me on this? How do you bring it home, Ben, theatrically?
I mean, I think it's going to be pretty clear. This is the guy who tripled his margin of victory from 2018 to 2022. He is coming in with a mandate. Robin Voss is a kind of a spent force. He's presiding over a Republican Party that is hopelessly divided at this point, and a party where only one Republican is announced for president, Donald Trump, and that is who Robin Voss said he will devote himself to ensuring is not his party's nominee. So, you know, you can already see in the kind of body language and the political posturing, the Republicans know that they can't hold the charade of pretending that Evers hasn't won anymore. That's why all these Republicans who stayed on in appointed positions have now stepped down, because they realized they couldn't just wait for another Republican to come along. And Evers is going to lay out a plan. We have almost $7 billion in surplus. It's a record high. So he's going to say, let's fund our public schools, let's cut taxes for the middle class, let's get money to, you know, cities and towns and counties and villages. And those are things that have overwhelming public support, massive public support. And, you know, Republicans who spent the last year screaming about defunding the police now have to look in the mirror and realize they're the ones who've been defunding local services, first responders, and schools and libraries for the last 12 years. So I think Evers is kind of calling their bluff in this moment, and it's exactly the right time to do that. They might be facing actual democracy in 2024 if we get new maps. So if they want to not have to run screaming to the hills away from their own record, this is their chance to actually step up to the moment and make some policy that reflects the things that they've been claiming they stand for a long time, but in fact, Democrats have been the champions of.
Folks, you are listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. That is Ben Wickler. He is the chair of the Democratic Party of the great state of Wisconsin. Ben, thanks for coming around. The Republicans willing to play ball, Ben. It's hard to imagine a better circumstance than what to do with a $7 billion surplus. You know, I mean, it's not like you got to come up with, hey, we're in the whole $7 billion, you know, those are real tough fights. This is a good one. This is one you want to have. And you mentioned a few things, school funding, and perhaps even shared revenue. What do you think would bring Republicans around? Because, you know, my impression is that they're more about the politics and the grandstanding than about the actual governance. What do you think would bring the Republicans to the table, specifically regarding the almost $7 billion surplus?
Well, I'll say my hope. My hope is that you know, he wants to cut middle class taxes, and you can do that without blowing a hole in the budget at this moment. My hope is that when Republicans realize that a flat tax that massively raises taxes on working Wisconsinites is off the table, that they say, oh, what the hell? Like, let's do a middle class tax cut and pair that with some school funding that, you know, most Republican in rural areas, the more Republican your area is, the more rural it's likely to be in the state of Wisconsin. And the more rural it is, the less likely there are to be private schools in your area. So it's not like the Republicans are talking about massive expansions of school voucher programs that take money out of the public school system to pay for private schools. And that works great for, you know, wealthy Republican donors who live in areas that have expensive private schools they can use their vouchers for. But for most Republican voters and Democratic voters and independent voters and non-voters in the state, they do not live in easy distance of a private school to use a voucher at. So this whole thing is a ridiculous sop to this kind of far right, you know, very like ultra wealthy ideology that says we should dismantle the public school system and, you know, shovel money to private schools and even for profit schools. But for most of the state, you know, Republicans, if they go out and say we should cut money for public schools, they will get laughed at. I think that Republican legislators could go home to their districts and say, look at this. We made a deal with the governor to cut taxes and fund schools and make sure, you know, we don't have to cut back hours in the library and lay off police officers and firefighters. That their constituents would see that as a win. The people of Wisconsin would see that as a win. It's not really a partisan left-right thing. It's really a question of whether Republicans who tried for the last 4 years to stop anything from happening under the Evers administration and failed and just got their butts handed to them in the election, whether they now decide to try a different strategy and actually do something for the people of the state.
Well, that was a uniform decision. Ben Wickler, Democratic Party Wisconsin chairman. Bob Spindell, a Wisconsin elections commissioner, bragged, and you know this, you follow the headlines, bragged about the voter suppressive efforts of Republicans and the 37,000 votes they knocked off between the 2018 midterms and the 2022 midterms. Now, Ben, first and foremost, is there numerical veracity to the assertion that Spindell's making? And above and beyond that, the legislative efforts, the making it harder for drop boxes or eliminating drop boxes, things of that nature, Ben. Are they making it harder? Are they suppressing votes, sir?
Republicans are suppressing votes in Wisconsin. There's no question about it. And what's surprising is that they actually admitted to it and talked about it. Wisconsin is the 47th hardest state to vote in the country. We're right near the bottom of the list, sandwiched between Alabama, Texas, Arkansas, and Mississippi. And that is a Republican intentional plan. Their goal is to make it harder, especially for Black people, for Latinos, for young people, for people with disabilities, people that they don't think are going to vote for them. They want to make it so they can't vote at all. And they've done that through their lawsuits, and they've done it through the courts. They've done it through a raft of legislative proposals, investigations, hearings, terrifying local clerks, intimidating people, threatening to jail mayors who tried to make it easier for people to vote. They've done it six ways from Sunday. And it's not a surprise that it does have some impact. Now, it doesn't. I don't think, you know, he listed off a whole bunch of things that that Bob Spindell, this Republican fake elector, Wisconsin Elections Commission appointee by the Senate President Devin Lemahieu, he's one of the top Republicans in the state, and he's bragging about all this voter suppression. He's claiming that the Republican cares. Opening storefronts in north and south side of Milwaukee, they're kind of messaging about where they were. It seemed like they were trying to win over votes. He's saying that actually that helped them suppress votes. I don't know whether their plan just didn't work because they clearly didn't get more votes. They actually lost ground in the margin in Milwaukee. It didn't work at all to persuade people, but fewer people did turn out. So I don't know I'd be surprised if they had some kind of like evil genius plan where those things actually suppress votes. But at a big picture, yeah, this is the Republican strategy, is to stop people from being able to cast ballots, discourage, dismay, disinformation, and legal barriers that make it harder for people to cast ballots. And it's a huge part of what we've got to fight against. We should be a democracy where politicians have to fight for everyone's vote, no matter what they look like, no matter where they live. And, you know, in that kind of democracy, I think Democrats will win more often. But if we lose, it'll be because we haven't earned the right to get people's support, not because someone has suppressed one vote or the other. It's why we need federal voting rights legislation. It's why we need to win with pro-democracy candidates at every level in the state of Wisconsin.
Ben, short on time. What's the lead for Tony if you wrote his speech?
I mean, I'm pretty excited about what he's going to lay out tonight. And I frankly think this big bargain, we've got this big stack of money, so let's send some of it back to the middle-class taxpayers in the state. Let's send some of it to our schools, and let's send some of it to our cities, our townships, our small town governments, the county governments.
Ben, got to cut you short, Santa Claus. Thank you. More Devil's Advocates. We'll be right back.
Kicking ass and taking names since the Wisconsin uprising. The Devil's Advocates.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. You can join us on the lines at 844-967-2789.
Always appreciate our good friend Ben Wickler, Democratic Party of Wisconsin chair. Appreciate when he comes round. He's excited, Dom. The lead. I mean, Tony Evers is going to play Santa Claus. I mean, at least Ben, at least he's playing the part. At least he's getting Crudy fired up for the, you know, we're doing 3 hours of special coverage up to the Civic Media live coverage of the Tony Evers, Democratic governor of the state of Wisconsin, speech. So, you know, if we're going to do all this, man, he better put on a barn burner for the audience, Tom. It's going to be ginormous. I feel the audience tonight going to be bigger than Speaker Pro Tem Tyler August's head. That's nice. Huge. It's gonna be huge.
But I appreciate Ben's perspective, certainly, and he's done a great job for the Democratic Party here in the state of Wisconsin. And I said it, and he referenced it again as we were wrapping up the segment. There's not going to be a more amiable, you know, economic situation than what we have right now for R's and D's and everyone to come together to try to figure out what to do with the surplus. I mean, almost $7 billion. I mean, these are great times. This should be an opportunity to work together to solve all sorts of, you know, everyone's got their Santa list, right? You know, everyone has something on that list that they want. We should be able to check off some of those things. And with regards to the school voucher thing, and I want to throw this out there, it's not just for-profit schools. It's religious indoctrination as well. Many of these schools are religious based, and you know, it just happens to be over the last 20 years. Well, you know, the tithing has gone down quite a bit. So what have they done to, you know, backfill the bank account? Well, hell, school vouchers. So it's more than just for profit. It's also the religious indoctrination part that I take specific exception with.
Dominic, we got people listening all around the world right now. If you are especially interested in this sure-to-be dynamic speech of Governor Tony Evers, don't forget, stick around. Special live extended coverage. In the next big hour, we got Pat Kreitlow. He's one of the fine hosts of the Civic Media Network from the Up North News, and also Todd Alba, the Todd Alba Show. He's going to anchor the coverage along with our news director, Terry Bell, at the Wisconsin Assembly Chambers. The speech goes off a little after 7. Crudy and Dom go off at like 6:59. Listen until then. But Dom, I want to turn my attention to the imminent charging decision, according to the Georgia DA. I'm watching really close. We talked about this leading into today. Today was the hearing in Fulton County, Georgia. And Fonnie Willis has got a big, big decision. And Dom, we got a little bit of the coverage here for our fair audience. A Georgia prosecutor investigating whether former President Trump and his allies broke any laws as they sought to influence the outcome of the 2020 election has asked a judge to keep sealed a grand jury report detailing the probe, saying charging decisions for multiple people are imminent.
Imminent decisions, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to charge. I can make a charging decision. A not to charge is a charging decision.
Well, Dom, let me read on from the coverage at thehill.com. The probe led by Fulton County District Attorney Fannie Willis comes in response to Trump's phone call to Georgia's Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger shortly before the January 6, 2021, asking him to find 11,780 votes, which is one more than we have. What he meant is one more than I would need to beat Joe Biden in the state of Georgia. The report is expected to include recommendations to Willis on whether to charge Trump. To charge Trump and others involved in numerous actions, including a plot to send so-called alternative electors for the state, which President Biden won. Now, we had a similar parallel plot, fraudulent plot, and Bob Spindell, the aforementioned Wisconsin Elections Commissioner, he was one of the alleged criminals that was part of that plot.
Plot. I mean, part of the conspiracy, one of the spokes in the wheel. This was part of it.
Well, we're talking about Georgia for the short run, Dom, so let's get back to Georgia. Jurors involved in crafting the report have previously determined it should be released to the public. Do it! But the final decision over whether to do so rests with Fulton County Superior Court Judge Robert McBurney. Come on, McBurney! Who will weigh whether to do so and if any redactions are necessary to disclose the document. I've still never seen the unredacted Mueller report, but here's the important part. Willis cautioned the court against imminently releasing the report, saying it could impact the right of numerous defendants
numerous.
To have a fair trial. I quote her, "We have to be mindful of protecting future defendants' rights." Doesn't sound like she's not charging anyone, Dom.
No.
And so what the state does not want to see happen, and don't think that there's any way that the court would be able to guarantee, is that if that report was released, that somehow could be arguments made that it impacts the right for later individuals, multiple, to get a fair trial, to have a fair hearing, to be able to be tried in this jurisdiction. Willis said at the outset of the hearing, decisions are imminent. I like that.
Curdy McBurney did not make an immediate ruling from the bench and said he expected to send additional questions to lawyers for both the state and the media, which on Tuesday argued in favor of releasing the documents. Yeah, that's us, Curdy. We're media. Release the hounds. Release the documents. Even some redactions, I guess, would be acceptable. But most importantly, Fani Willis, if you find the evidence, please indict quickly.
Don't forget, attorneys for Trump yesterday said, we can assume the grand jury did their job and looked at the facts and the law, as we have, and concluded there were no violations of the law by President Trump. Why? Because they didn't interview the man. I would say that's because he's the prime suspect. You kind of wait.
He's the target. Yeah, right.
Until trial before, it's his right whether or not he wants to testify at that late hour.
He could take the stand and testify at trial. You say everything he wants.
He testifies on Truthy Social nearly daily. Come back. We testify on the radio. You could as well. 844-967-2789.
You're listening to the radio show your mother warned you about, The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, a happier, happy hour, the Tuesday edition. And Dom, bonus coverage. More of us. People are so excited right now. I can feel it coming through the phone lines at 844-967-2789. Plenty of time for your calls. And at 6 o'clock, we'll turn our attention back to the State of the State address. Great state of Wisconsin. Tony Evers going to burn it down tonight from the Wisconsin Assembly Chambers. He is perhaps, rhetorically, one of the best speakers I've ever heard in my life.
Man, I mean, I don't want to set $2 billion budget surplus in the state of Wisconsin. I hope Tony comes out with a stack of hundreds and starts making it rain, baby.
That would be a wonderful prop. Tony Bucks? You know, like Zucker Bucks, only but with the governor's face on there? Oh, could you see if he did that as a prop? Just turn around at Robin Voss and just start flicking off a stack. Biggest surplus in state history. You're welcome.
Hey, we all know that Scott Walker claims, although he did not, solve a $3.6 billion budget deficit, we actually have almost $7 billion in the state coffers right now. And what the Republicans would like to do here, well, we'll go to a flat tax, cost us $5 billion, and, we'll worry about the rest later.
That's what their rich donors want, Dom. Seems like a small idea to the rich guys. Let me point out, Tony is in the governance business. We, you and me at least, not the audience, not everyone, but we're supposed to be in the super cool entertainment radio.
We're the hype men? Is that what we do?
Well, I can tell you the build up to tonight's event might be a little better than the actual speech. I'm just saying it might be.
We'll see. You're going to have to stay tuned to find out. Let us know tomorrow.
But what I can say, Dom, it's a shame when any voice in the entertainment news industry goes dark, goes silent, like Newsmax might soon do. How could that be, Newsmax? I mean, that's a mega favorite, is it not, Dom?
It used to be. It may not be for much longer.
You found this coverage over at the Raw Story. See, I've trained you. Now you go to the Raw Story, too.
I love the Raw Story.
Newsmax set to go dark. Well, okay, that should be the normal headline. This company hasn't found solid ground, hasn't found carriage on the cable dial. In the TV business, man, I'm a radio guy, but I learned this about the TV guys. You just throw up a TV station, then you can force the cable companies to pay you to carry your TV station. So you get paid whether or not your content basically sucks or not. I mean, around here, we got to earn it. But in TV, you get cable carriage. Well, unless you're Newsmax, unless you're not a good enough, strong enough station, and you start losing your carriers, they say, you know what? We're not going to pay you for your coverage any longer. No, thank you, Newsmax. And that's where they find themselves to the point where they're not going to have any carriage. No one's going to pay them for their crappy partisan coverage. And that's where we pick up the story at the Raw Story. another conservative news network could face an existential threat. DirecTV might be dropping the right-leaning Newsmax network, just as Don was hoping to get an anchor job, just as the cable television carrier did last year to the pro-Donald Trump channel One America News, according to a letter sent last week to House Republicans reported at the Daily Beast. Here's a quote, Tom. If Newsmax is removed from DirecTV, in less than a year, House Republicans will have lost two of the three cable news channels that reach conservative voters on a platform that primarily serves conservative-leaning areas of the country, read the letter sent by first-term Rep. Wesley Hunt, Republican from Texas. Oh, yes, Dom, he's a regular guest on the Newsy Max network. The letter, which was co-signed by 41 GOP lawmakers, accused the carrier and its corporate owners, AT&T and TPG Capital, of moving to deplatform Newsmax by denying it cable fees. Those carriage fees I was describing, they don't want to pay Newsmax to put out the partisan news. So they're too what, woke? To deplatform Newsmax by denying it cable fees on a fair and equitable basis. In the reference comment from Democratic members of the House Energy and Commerce Committee that described Fox News, Newsmax, and OANN as misinformation rumor mills and conspiracy theory hotbeds.
Yes, that's true.
Well, that part's true. So that's your defense? Given the jurisdiction of the Energy and Commerce Committee over your company's business interest, it is reasonable to assume you took this letter seriously and complied with their demands. Demands? Boy, that's a stretch. I mean, legally to say that is a stretch. Dom, a DirecTV representative, didn't dispute that Newsmax deal with the carrier expires late Tuesday night. Hopefully after Tony's State of the State address, because I'd love to see the Newsmax re-rack coverage of Tony's speech, as Hunt claimed. But that person said the network was asking for fees the company doesn't think are warranted. They don't think
so it's not Newsy that Max network, is worth it. Newsmax didn't have an availability. It's just that, what, DirecTV isn't going to pay them what they want to be paid, or as this letter said, denying it cable fees on a, quote, fair and equitable basis. Well, apparently that is subjective. And if they don't want to do that, what, the Republicans are going to put a letter in? Big government Republicans trying to, what, muscle in and push a private corporation, or publicly traded with AT&T, to carry propaganda stations that prop up other Republicans.
Well, Dominic, here's the other part. DirecTV's representative pointed out that Newsy Max is seeking license fees from carriers while making the same content available for free on YouTube, streaming services such as Amazon, Fire TV, and Roku. Who the hell is going to pay you to produce something that you give away for free? No one's paying for the milk if you give it away for free.
Curdy, Newsmax employees told the Daily Beast that they didn't know much about the negotiations and were caught off guard by Hunt's claims about losing DirecTV, but the lawmaker indicated Republicans may get involved in the dispute.
How does that work?
You're right. It's a political decision to censor conservative media, which is a red flag for the First Amendment, Hunt told the Washington Examiner. The latest development in the left's ongoing campaign to purge voices they disagree with from the public sphere.
It's cable.
That's so wrong. Number one, the First Amendment doesn't have anything to do with whether or not you get your crappy show on DirecTV. The public square, Newsy Max, if you want to go put up your soapbox and yell to the sky that the end is near, you can do that. No one is stopping you from doing that. The government is not censoring Newsmax. Newsmax trying to charge DirecTV for what they're giving away for free. Freaking kidding me, Republicans? And this is what you're going to come out? Big business, big government Republicans coming out and trying to squeeze AT&T. Wow.
They really, really hope that Elon will just go buy Newsmax and make it all better. Daddy, make it all better.
I mean, and the other side, let's talk about this for a minute. So given the set aside the financial circumstances as of right now. This is basically a negotiating thing. We want more. We're not going to pay it. Okay, you're done. All right, well, they could come back. Newsmax could accept, you know, I don't know, free or above free, a couple of bucks. Certainly, it makes sense for them, for AT&T DirecTV not to engage if they're going to do this anyway. It's not like this is, you know, only content you can find on AT&T. But what's the other side of this? I mean, how long have these organizations been around? These are not legacy, you know, ABC, NBC, CBS type stuff. What, 2014 for Newsmax, 2013, I think, for OAN, and they didn't start out on DirecTV. That was only, what, fairly recently that this became around. When I saw them on DirecTV, I was saying to myself, why the hell are they playing this stuff on DirecTV? So what? And to have the Republicans, who claim to be all sorts of things, George Santos, the George Santos Republicans, today, I want to bring the big, heavy hand of government and stick it to DirecTV, to AT&T, and their partners, because they don't want to put up the propaganda that somebody else gets for free for a price. Wow. Way to go, Santos Republicans.
844-967-2789. I'd give that rant at least a solid B+, Dom.
All right. Come on, Tony. You can do it, baby.
If Dom can get a B+, Tony, you got an A- in you, fella. A- effort at minimum. We're going to take you bonus coverage right here on the Devil's Advocates. 3 hours of us, just like we used to do it, all the way up to the live State of the State address right here on the Civic Media Network. Got lots of friends joining us later, like Pat Kreitlow from the Up North News, Todd Alba from the Todd Alba Show, of course, on the Civic Media Network. And then news director Terry Bell is going to bring us live coverage from the Assembly Chambers, Wisconsin State Capitol. Dom, did we mention we're moving up that way pretty quick? Got a new, beautiful, shiny world headquarters, corner of State and Dayton Street. So, you know, when they're protesting and stuff, doing the nude bike rides, all that stuff, we'll be up there for all of it. All right. Can't wait, Tom. Can't wait. And can't wait for the live coverage to kick in. But we mentioned this as we started the show. Mike Pence, we've got some of his own classified documents. And as you pointed out,
trying to be as presidential as he possibly can.
I also took important papers home. They let me play with the important papers. Steve Bannon, podcaster Dom, is lashing out at the former VP, accusing him of providing cover for Joe Biden, and the specific thing he's calling him, Judas Pence.
Judas Priest?
Judas Pence. As Republican Party loyalists are enjoying the afterglow of classified documents being found belonging to President Joe Biden, while minimizing the classified documents that have been found at the Indiana home of former VP Mike Pence, Steve Bannon, longtime advisor, supporter, confidant of President Donald Trump. I'd like to point out, former alleged meth head, pardoned felon. What else can we say about...
And currently convicted of the Congress, contempt of Congress, and is awaiting his jail sentence, but he's on appeal right now.
And podcaster Steve Bannon...
Well, if you're a podcaster,
he has used the opportunity to knock Pence off his GOP platform for a possible 2024 presidential campaign on Pence Getter social media account. That's a social media Getter. He reacted to the news of Pence's classified documents. Judas Pence attempts to provide cover for Biden. Is that what he's doing?
Really,
I committed crimes.
Why would there be cover for Trump? Oh, that's right. Hang Mike Pence.
What should be the punishment for this newest disclosure that Mike Pence had classified documents?
Well, I mean, if it's treason, it's capital punishment. Hang Mike Pence.
Hang Mike Pence. That's what Bannon was going to come around to eventually, Dom, but let me read from the reporting. Bannon's comments come with no basis on Pence trying to minimize the findings of Biden's classified documents. And before a major media response has been provided by Pence. A major media response, that means he's going on Hugh Hewitt, right? Some right-wing talk radio show.
Most politicians
Most political insiders believe Bannon is just acting as a de facto Trump spokesperson on the issue. Another possibility is that Bannon is trying to deflect attention from his current case the charges that he fraudulently obtained donations for the Build the Wall campaign and misappropriated those funds for the unfinished project. Yeah, did he raise private funds to build the wall?
That's such a nice way to put it. Misappropriated funds and, fraudulently obtained donations. Yes, that's exactly what he did.
After his prior federal pardon dom, he is currently Bannon, podcaster, scumbag, all those other things aforementioned. Allegedly, Bannon is facing charges of conspiracy, money laundering, scheming to defraud investors, and the aforementioned contempt of Congress. He's a savory fella, Dom. Such a fine complexion he has.
Oh, man, love the mega.
Could you see that guy in a beach? Him and Chris Christie just enjoying a me day. Come back. More Devil's Advocates. You'll have that image forever in your mind.
Oh, it's terrible. Terrible.
You will never find a more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Mike Pence said no.
I don't know if you know the Devil's Advocates, but the show is kind of a big deal.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. You can join us on the phones at 844-967-2789. Callers, be patient. We'll screen you shortly.
Do we even really screen them? Is that what Evo pretends to do back there? 844-96-PARTY.
Hey, don't diminish the hard work that Evan does, man.
Well, by our own admission, it's a lightly screen. Like, you could sneak weapons in here, I'm telling you. And contraband. Come on in. Join us. Weapons and contraband. It's all welcome here. Dom, I did want to hammer on Florida Governor Ron DeSantis while we're still in the national hour here. We will do extended coverage, so stick around past 6 Central Time. But Jennifer Rubin at the Washington Post, a judge exposes DeSantis' contempt for the First Amendment and most parts of the Constitution, right, Dom? But let's get a little of the coverage out. Andrew Warren, the state prosecutor for Hillsborough County, Florida, spoke against Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. How dare he? Ron DeSantis's forced birth abortion plan and his persecution of LGBTQ youth. In August, DeSantis suspended him and falsely claimed it was because Warren had made a blanket promise not to prosecute certain cases. Warren sued, and on Friday, a judge sided with him on the facts, but here's the part that's troubling, but did not give him the relief he sought. But back to the facts of the matter, Dom. In his ruling, U.S. District Judge Robert Hinkle called DeSantis' allegation against Warren false. Effectively, a federal judge just called DeSantis a liar, Dom. Mr. Warren's well-established policy followed in every case by every prosecutor in the office, Hinkle wrote, was to exercise prosecutorial discretion at every stage of every case. Any reasonable investigation would have confirmed this. The bare minimum of diligence would have confirmed this. Wait, Dom, there's more. Hinkle underscored that Warren had been carrying out his duties without a fault. Again, from the federal judge's statement, the record includes not a hint of misconduct by Mr. Warren. So far as this record reflects, he is diligently and competently performing the job he was elected to perform, very much in a way he told voters he would perform it. Contrary to this, this is the quote is done. Contrary to DeSantis's claim, Jennifer Rubin writes, Warren had no blanket non-prosecution policies. The judge added, and this is a quote, any minimally competent inquiry would have confirmed this. Let me say that again. I might not have gotten it right. I want to be at least minimally competent when I read this. Any minimally competent inquiry would have confirmed this. The assertion that Mr. Warren neglected his duty or was incompetent is incorrect. The factual issue is not close. That's a federal judge telling Ron DeSantis, you're a big fat liar.
Crudy, in fact, the court determined based on uncontroverted evidence, there it was, stripped of pretext, a motivating factor in Mr. Warren's suspension was that he was a progressive prosecutor and, of all things, supported by billionaire George Soros, who was also a contributor to the Democratic Party. In the first 57 pages of the 59-page opinion, the court makes crystal clear that DeSantis went after Warren for his political affiliation and views, including his outspoken defense of his record as a reform prosecutor. However, the kicker lies in the last two pages. Warren still couldn't obtain reinstatement. Unfortunately for Warren, the court ruled that even if he was protected from being fired over his stated beliefs, DeSantis would still have suspended Warren for non-protected reasons, ergo his record as a reformer and his disinclination to prosecute people in their first encounter with the police for bicycle and pedestrian violations. Oh, how dare he! I mean, this, you know what? So DeSantis wants him to go after the... never been in problem of in trouble with the law before, but if you do anything wrong on your bicycle or you jaywalk, you better go after him hard. Rubin continues. In addition, Hinkle held that Warren could not obtain the relief under the Florida Constitution because the 11th Amendment prohibits a federal court from ordering a state official to take action for a violation of state laws. Had Warren brought the case in state court, there would have been no 11th Amendment barrier, but Warren no doubt chose to bring this case in the federal court on a First Amendment theory to sidestep right-wing state judges. He might still pursue that avenue for relief. Warren told Rubin on Monday, quote, the reaction has been overwhelming. People are excited that we won on the merits and proved DeSantis broke the law in suspending me, and they are eagerly awaiting my reinstatement. We are still weighing our legal options going forward. Still, the end result is unsatisfying when, as the judge indicated, someone breaks both federal and state law and gets away with it. The sense of injustice is palpable. But while Warren did not prevail in getting reinstated, he certainly pulled back the curtain on the authoritarian mindset of a governor who crushes dissent to score political points. As Warren said in public remarks after the ruling, DeSantis' conduct should send shivers down the spine of anyone who cares about free speech, the integrity of elections, and the rule of law. Put differently, Warren served as a canary in the coal mine with regard to a governor who remains a top presidential prospect for 2024, exposing DeSantis' abuse of power and his contempt for the First Amendment. There have been other warnings about DeSantis as well, from his retaliation against Disney for opposing the Don't Say Gay bill to his inhumane and deceptive practice of shipping asylum seekers from Texas to Massachusetts. Norm Eisen, former co-counsel for House Impeachment Managers, tells me, quote, the 11th Amendment obstacle should not detract from the truth and the danger it represents. Like Trump, DeSantis is a serial violator of the rule of law with a shrewd and perhaps even shrewder ability to dodge consequences. Let no one be confused. DeSantis is not a break with the mega anti-democratic movement. He's only a less buffoonish version of the defeated former president, and that makes him all the more dangerous, writes an opinion from Jennifer Rubin at the Washington Post.
844-967-2789. We'll sneak at least one in here. Jerry listening from Arizona. Jerry, welcome. I'll give you like a minute.
Hey, Jerry.
We had snow last night. It wasn't much, but it was a light flake. So I'm telling you, this is shocking. It's global change. Anyway, I was going to suggest that we add to Amendment 28 to the Constitution of the United States that we have to have wording where this fraud BS is illegal. See, Santos got by with it. He was set up. He was probably paid by one of Trump, definitely a mager, because there's no law that says what he did is illegal. So we have to have the last amendment to the Constitution. It would be number 28. We have to have wording and language that says it's illegal. Another thing is...
Jerry, we don't have time for another thing, unfortunately. Please stick around if you're listening on the stream from Arizona. Civic Media, take it anywhere. bonus coverage, more Devil's Advocates. You're so excited. The third hour, Pat Kreitlow, our fine guest. Stick around.